When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, it is 94 WIP. If only you knew the final 5 seconds before we went on the air.
I know. Now I want to continue this conversation. Yeah, okay. We're learning some history, or about to learn some American history.
Revolutionary War bad guys.
As one does.
But that's okay. Good morning to you. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP. All right.
It was pre-revolution, too, in some cases.
Correct.
I mean, we're going way back.
Yeah,
way back.
John and I get a little deep sometime.
French and Indian War.
And then Devin's trying to figure out.
How much time did you have
in there?
What's
going on here?
Well, and it all started, if you can believe it or not, from a pencil. It all started from John Ritchie's pencil.
And that part I missed anyway. But okay, hello. Good morning. And welcome to Wednesday in Philadelphia. All right, so we're getting close to Christmas. We're getting close to Hanukkah. And, of course, we're getting closer to the Super Bowl. It's a great Eagles season. Now, a quiet night last night in the world of sports. Flyers back at it tonight. But a quiet night last week gives us a chance to...
Wow,
to,
calling the night the NBA Cup is handed
yeah,
out a quiet night.
Yeah. James, are you kidding me?
Of course I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
You're kidding me. All right, so look, let's get to it. 215-592-9494. We'll do a lot on the Eagles. Also the Phils. Want to mix in the Phils a little bit more today. All of it with you today at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny. Why do you say that like you're...
Newman. It's like the Seinfeld Newman. It's like Newman.
Yeah, I hear more like Hannibal Lecter at one point with
Clarice. Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounded Lecterian.
I'm just telling you, it's a little weird, but hello.
Hello, Joe.
I can see it a little bit there. I get it.
Put the lotion in the best.
Well, I wasn't saying Buff Bill. I was saying, you know.
I'm just jumping around.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, jumping around to some different voices there.
Different serial killers, you know.
Yeah, City Montessori School in Lucknow, India. It holds the Guinness World Record for the largest school student enrollment.
All right, let me take a guess. India, you said?
Yeah.
I'll say 101,000.
Holy cow.
101?
That's the worst.
I don't know.
That's bad. Now I feel bad.
Yeah,
Penn State's got like 40,000.
That's a college, though.
Well, it's a school.
He's talking about a school.
Yeah, like, I don't know. A college is a school.
That's, I guess, that's
fair.
College.
Okay. No, yeah.
This is like
primary.
Go ahead.
These are children. 55,000.
Okay.
That's a lot. That's insane.
It doesn't feel as insane anymore
well,
now Joe that
Joe
said
it.
That.
No, but that's a lot.
It's insane.
It doesn't feel that insane.
All right. Well, I blew the fact. Sorry.
Let me tell you. How long are those parent-teacher conferences
going to
take?
Oh, boy. You're not kidding.
Wow,
right, let me tell you who's not blowing it. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. They are soaring. And look, today, 215-592-9494, because we've talked about so many aspects of this team, and there's so many elements of greatness. But, you know, it's a day for positivity. I mean, last week there was a lot of consternation, okay? Obviously, AJ and Brandon and everything that got said. And, you know, obviously the prior game hadn't been the most explosive offensively. I'm talking 2 games ago. But we should never lose sight of the fact that at 12-2 and with a 10-game winning streak, we are seeing extraordinary things. I mean, really some beautiful football. And today at 215, extraordinary. Today at 215-592-9494, I want to drill down on what aspects of this football team do you think have gone under-discussed and are underrated on the path to this team's greatness? because we talk so much about so many things, but I am certain there are elements that we don't get into enough.
Man, glaring at the top.
Talk to me, John.
This really does. Great question, and it is in neon lights and flashing. This team is so tough. This team sits atop the NFL in toughness, and we continue to prove it. Think about the fact that we just out-toughed the AFC North. We just took it to all those, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals. They're down this year, mm-hmm. but a team like the Baltimore Ravens,
yeah, Baltimore and Pittsburgh,
with their rushing attack, and then a couple weeks after that, the Pittsburgh Steelers,
yep.
to do that the way that we did it, you know, and it was just punching them in the mouth in both games. That says a lot. That sends a message. And I love that these guys have attitude. I love the spirit. I love the hitting. I love the toughness displayed with regularity. I think it's encapsulated for me in one player. He's like the personification of this stick your face in there thing. CJGJ.
Oh, CJGJ.
CJGJ for me is, man, he's almost like the guy that the defense must look to. You can hear him before you see him at times, but you know he's flying around. And he will tattoo you if you stand still and let him.
And he'll tell you about it.
Yeah, and I love that. And that's what you need. That's what a great defense needs. So that kind of swagger is certainly helping us. But the last game against the Steelers, these guys refused to come off the field. That's a really cool factor about this team. Quinion, 100% of the plays defensively. Zach Bond, 100% of the plays defensively. Reed, 100%. CJGJ, 100%. Nolan Smith, 95% as an edge guy. N'Kobe Dean, 93%. Jalen Carter, 91% of the plays. Now, that's easier to do when you only have 43 plays because your defense takes care of business and gets off the field. If that number balloons, like our offense against the Steelers ran 80 plays. If our defense puts themselves in a position where they have to run 70.
Yeah.
How are these young guys going to hold up? Are they going to be able to continue to hit people and intimidate people? That's going to be the real test. So the youth and inexperience, I do worry a little bit that that'll create some issues somewhere, but I love the way that we out-physical the most physical teams in the NFL.
It is something.
And that's our identity.
No, I agree.
And people are afraid to play us.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that is a huge chunk of their identity. Physical toughness. And Sirianni talks quite a bit about it. James, something about this football team, a little underrated, under-discussed. What hit you?
Yeah, and it's shocking it's under-discussed because last season, the offseason, we discussed this ad nauseum. One of the things we talked about the most, and it's a part of Jalen's development that we never talk about. We talk about the way he throws the ball, the way he runs, the way he runs the offense. Have we talked about the blitz all year?
Yeah.
Like, all year. It was the focal point of the second half of last season. If they can't fix this, they've been awesome at it. And Jalen has done a fantastic job of searing the offense from that perspective.
Yeah.
First time ever doing it in the NFL.
Yeah.
Think about how much we talked about
replacing Kelsey.
It. Exactly.
And that element of it.
And we have had, like, there's blitzes, zero issues this season with it.
No, that's a great answer. Look, we're looking for answers today on elements of this football team because, look, it's a day to celebrate and it's a month to celebrate Eagles football. I mean, what they're putting out there is special. I mean, we may never see a 10-game winning streak again. We might not. You know, I mean, listen, think of it this way, guys. They've been around for 90 years and we've never seen one before. So 10-game winning streak, let's celebrate and talk about the aspects of the team. Little underrated, under-discussed, 215-592-9494. Devin, what hits you on this football team and what maybe hasn't gotten enough discussion?
Kind of goes into John's answer of CJGJ, but just the edge that this defense is playing with. And one guy in particular, Jalen Carter. So there was that moment on the sideline in the Steelers game where you can kind of see him fired up. It was after he made a bad mistake. He kind of got a little too fired up and hit a guy in the helmet, and Nick Sirianni's kind of being held back, and then they embrace. But I think it's just that fire that the defense was completely lacking last season, and the fact that they're playing with this chip on their shoulder. And I don't want to say it's a good thing to be angry, but, you know,
it is.
It is, with Darius Slay in the Steelers game. You know, the entire defense rushed to his defense to kind of have his back, and it ended up in a little scuffle between the two teams. But to me, that just shows that these guys have each other's back, and they're playing with an edge, and I think that goes a really long way.
Especially compared to last year with the Niners
big
thing.
Big time. Who was the other safety last year? Was it Byard?
Byard.
I mean, that was a joke. I saw that guy in a game the other day, and I'm like, this guy's still in the league. This guy stunk. And that Shaq Leonard guy stunk. They all stunk. Rhea, what hit you on something maybe under the radar this year?
It was a little underlying. James kind of mentioned it, but, you know, I think one of the other things we all worried about is how are they going to be able to replace a Hall of Famer in Jason Kelce?
Yep.
We rarely talk about Cam Jurgens.
You're right.
I mean, he just, that offensive line is still continuing to operate at a huge level. BG goes down. Defense is just rolling. I mean, it's Cam Jurgens. It's, you know, the place that's, the coaching that this team is getting, and not just from the OC, the position coaches, I think we're probably going to lose a lot of those.
Good.
Because they've been tremendous.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of ways to go here on a day to celebrate Eagles football. Midweek, obviously, 1 week to Christmas, and your sense of the greatness of this squad and what has perhaps been a little under-discussed and frankly, perhaps underrated with our conversation here, 215-592-9494. I mean, I'll give you one in five words. The pass rush has delivered. I mean, what the hell? Like, you look at the parts, and they weren't supposed to deliver. I mean, I guess Josh Sweat was supposed to be the best of them, but he finished last year lame. He started this year lame. But this guy's come on like a freight train. Nolan Smith came out of nowhere from being an utter non-factor and, frankly, someone that, as recently as about 2 months ago, I think most Eagles fans would say pretty much bust category. Like, pretty much bust. Because he's a first-round pick. He's not a third-round pick guy. First-round pick. So, you know, he has picked it up big time. Obviously, Brandon Graham did fantastic in the games he was in there, which was the bulk of the season. But he's missed, I think, two of them now. And they haven't missed a beat. They got nothing out of Jalix Hunt. He's been out and injured, and it's like that hasn't mattered, seemingly.
Bryce Huff.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Bryce Huff. Yeah, Bryce Huff. I'm sorry. Wrong guy. Bryce Huff. Correct. Thank you.
Jalix is actually giving them something.
Yeah, Jalix Hunt has stepped in there and given them a little something. I mean, they're only playing with three dudes up there. I mean, for the most part, it's Josh Sweat, Nolan Smith, and Jalix Hunt. You know, so that's an unusual rotation. Now, they got to look. Here, they got two major advantages for the guys outside. They do have two, we should say. One is Jalen Carter inside Rex games. So that gives you a tremendous advantage. Don't think when Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt were doing their thing inside that it didn't help guys on the outside.
Of course, Milton Williams is having a tremendous season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, and then the other thing is the cornerback play has been great. So
Vic's schemed it great, too.
And Vic's. You're right. So you're going to have certain advantages that make the edge rushers probably look a little better than they are. But here's the thing. Here's my point. I came into the season, and as recently as 2 months ago, and had a real concern about it. Guys, they have the number one defense in pro football.
It's wild.
You can't have that without a pass rush that's doing its job.
It's wild.
It's incredible. All right, what's been a little under the radar for the Eagles this year? Obviously, you can weigh in on any front here, 215-592-9494. Also, AMA coming up today at 7 o'clock. You ask, we answer. And the key, of course, you got to get those questions in. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Make them some good creative questions about sports or otherwise. And we'll have some fun with that coming up at 7 o'clock today. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. I also want to get to a Phillies topic here that we briefly touched on yesterday. We'll do a lot more on today. All right, let's kick it off right now with Anthony calling from New Jersey. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Anthony.
Doing great, pal.
Hey, John, man, I love what you said, man, about CJ GJ, man. You're gonna hear him definitely before you see him, but he's gonna be flying around the field.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna have your head on a swivel. So when you're trying to make a play and least expect it, they go CJ GJ. He's gonna put your back in the dirt and he's gonna bounce up and tell you, yeah, I just put your back in the dirt, and this is going to be for 60 minutes. 60 minutes. The Eagles is a tough team, man. You think about it from a few years ago when they let Trent Williams and the San Francisco 49ers just bum past them during the pregame. You try that against this team. I bet you'll think about it again before you do.
Look, Anthony, I love your call, man. And I'll tell you what, they put physicality on the other squad, typically without it being illegal either. That's the other thing. It's hard these days without getting the 15-yard penalties. Yeah. They'll get it every once in a while.
Just the right way.
Yeah.
And that's Nick Sirianni preaching the physicality into this team, man. I love it.
Well, and the players. And the players preaching it.
Well done, Anthony. Good call, buddy.
And the players practicing hitting. The players knowing how important it is to practice hitting people, wrapping them up, not necessarily taking them the whole way to the ground, but that the old school thud tempo that we did once upon a time, it really does make a difference.
Well, no, I mean, we say it. It clearly does. And, you know, one thing I think that makes a difference is the way Sirianni preaches it to the guys. Like, he's not running from what the, I mean, John, you know, this is a, you know, I've heard people say it's a physical sport. Jaws likes to say it's a combat sport. Like, this isn't patty cake. You know, this, it's why I wasn't cut out for it.
No, you were not. But this is why.
Breaking news,
this
everybody.
This is why I had such a major problem with the fact that they were wearing baseball caps and shorts and walking through in running shoes. You can't learn to play football better by walking and wearing a baseball cap. You have to strike people
but,
and move people.
Sure.
And they are now applying that to the way that they prepare. Nick Sirianni has bridged the gap between the new and the old and the old and the new.
Yeah.
The modern technology that does allow them to have healthier players, and the players are getting more hits in and they want that. And they're asking for that.
I love it, man.
And Nick has somehow engendered this whole.
Well, I want to play some audio Sirianni last week. So there was a lot going on, obviously, last week. All the controversy was swirling around. But by a certain point, it was right back to football. And the Eagles have released some audio of Sirianni talking to the guys last week. I believe this is on Thursday. So remember, this is before the Pittsburgh game. But he can sometimes keep his messaging very simple but profound. Because he's drilling, poignant, maybe not profound, but poignant. He's drilling down on important concepts with repetition. Listen to Sirianni last week on Thursday talking to the team.
Tough, detailed, together. This is our identity. Tough, detailed, together. Tough, detailed, together. Tough, detailed, together. This game against the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be physical. This game's going to be physical, but we're the f***ing bully. We're the one that takes it to them.
I mean, I love that, man. I really do. And he has done something, John, you just touched on it. He clearly doesn't go as hard in August on the guys as, like, you know, 30 years ago or 20 years ago, because he is trying to have them be fresh for December, January, and February. But, man, when they crank it up, they crank it up.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Bringing it back at the right time, and it's just, man, it's just tasteful coaching, and it's the proper switches being flipped, or however you want to touching the proper buttons, however you want to call this, he can motivate these players to want to learn to hit harder and better. And I can't believe it. It seems so simple. You do have to apply
You also credit to Howie and the personnel department
for getting the right kind of guys who want
this.
That is so important, and it must be so difficult to find a whole roster full of guys with this you know, team first mentality.
I agree. Let's go to Doug. He's calling from Pensauken. Good morning, Doug.
Morning, guys. So two quick NBA points right now. First off, they got to get rid of this NBA Cup thing. Yeah. Nobody cares if your players earn an extra $1 million, okay? You already have more money than anybody else ever will.
No question.
Yep. Don't fall for it, Doug. Like, I'm not falling for it either. I resent that you think I'm so dumb to fall for it.
Yep.
I'm mad at you.
The fact that
the floor is painted differently doesn't trick me.
The floors are awful. And then the punishment for not making is like, oh no, you get 2 extra weeks off. Like, boo-hoo.
Right.
Well, second of all, dude, stop incentivizing tanking, okay? They got to stop doing that. If you want to save the NBA for the future, the teams that are on the outside looking in, like the teams that just missed the playoffs, they should be getting more ping pong balls in the draft lottery. It gives teams a chance, you know, to build better products on the court. all of them, not the bottom feeders.
Yeah, I mean, they've changed that, but they're in a tough spot because, there's some truly horrible teams that do need more help. But obviously, to your point, tanking is still a thing, just not as prevalent as 10 years ago.
Okay, well, on to the Eagles, on to winning, which is nice. Nick Sirianni, I mean, and I take back everything I said about him. He's got these guys ready to go. He's motivating them. He sounds like Pierre LaViolette. I want players that want to rip their hearts out of their chest.
Hold on. It's good to hear you say it. It's better to hear him say it.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
One more. Here we go.
Play some jam out here.
One more.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
That's what we're saying to Joel Embiid right now. We need Pierre LaViolette with Joel.
Go ahead. Jam in there, buddy.
Go ahead, Doug.
There you go. That's awesome. But one thing I definitely want to see out of these guys here is just work on the fundamentals, the mechanics. Work on those fumble drills. Work on getting the interceptions. Like it drives up a wall when a quarterback drops an interception. Now I get you're not expecting the ball. You're just reaching for it. But if you can just, this is the playoffs, man. You got to be a vacuum. When you get to the playoffs, you got to take that ball and just run it back.
I got you. That's one. I'll tell you. That's one aspect at times this year they've struggled. Quinyon's dropped some balls this year. He's been great, but there've been some plays they could have picked off that they didn't. All right, so it was good to hear that Nick Nurse has said the Joel thing not so bad, not as bad as the prior face breaks.
Is he telling the truth?
Yeah, I know. So hopefully they get Joel back at some point here and crank this thing up. We shall say. All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of cranking it up, the Phillies, of course, have been trying to crank up an off season that kind of hasn't gone anywhere yet. I mean, they signed one relief pitcher, but nothing really of note has occurred. We all wait to see if Boehm gets traded. Rosenthal thinks he will. But here's another reality, and we briefly touched on this yesterday when I referenced, hey, shouldn't they consider putting Kyle Schwarber in left field, either with regularity or from time to time, so that you can sign a DH and have greater flexibility with the lineup? And when I said that yesterday, the room went wild with, and I forget who said what, but someone's like, well, put Trey in center. And someone else like, put Bryce in right. And it's like, well, listen, all pretty good ideas. So we have a Twitter poll question.
I don't think anybody likes the idea of Kyle back in the outfield.
So I do, because I'll put it this way. I'd rather have Schwarber in left, Marsh in center, and a stick who can hit than Schwarber DH, Marsh in left, and Rojas. I just would. I think Schwarber's bad defense is better than Rojas's bad offense. But anyway, so it's all about trying to come up with the best baseball team. We ask you this Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays and, of course, a healthy new year. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, and John, I'm curious what your answer to this would be right out of the gate here today. Which player moving to the outfield would most help the Phillies become a better team? Is it A, Bryce Harper to right, you could sign a first baseman? Is it B, or trade for one? Is it B, Trey Turner to center, you could acquire a new shortstop who presumably would be better defensively? Or C, Kyle Schwarber. And by the way, Trey would become a lot better offensive center fielder than Rojas. Say what you want about his his offensive deficiencies. He's way better than Rojas.
That makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, and then Schwarber to left. So John, which of these kind of...
I think Trey to center makes the most sense. He's certainly capable.
He's fast.
I think of running ball down in center field. Has he done this, Jimmy, at
back
any
in
point?
The day, yeah, back in the day he did in college, high school.
But plenty of guys have moved. Robin Yount was a shortstop until he was a center fielder. Juan Samuel was a second baseman until he's. It's totally doable.
Bryce Harper was a right fielder until he was a first baseman.
Totally.
Yes.
Rose played five. Here's an amazing fact. Pete Rose, in his long career, played five different positions, 500 or more games.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Jose Akendo yesterday on the
show.
Right,
Akendo.
I mean, the guy played all positions in a game.
How about the fact, too, that I thought Trey Turner played last year shortstop not well.
Below average.
The year before. We're all sitting there
totally.
Like, wait, wasn't he supposed to be awesome at this? And so it has been disappointing. I think we have every right as fans, and the team has every right to say, wait a second.
Totally.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Korean for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We could get more out of you at a different spot. You are athletic enough to be in the outfield. We have a major need in center field.
Yeah.
Let's just put you there.
I want to, James, I want to ask you a question. We're going to get to Sheila in one moment. James Seltzer, yes or no? Dombrowski and Rob Thompson, I'm not going to say hesitant, are afraid to ask these three players to play out there or afraid to tell them to play out there.
True. I don't think with Schwarber. I don't think they want to move Schwarber. I think they want to keep Schwarber where he
Could
is.
Be.
But yes, I think with the other two, they certainly with Turner, I think they promised him, you know.
So how long does that last? 4 years? 6 years?
Bro,
how long do you have to adhere to the promise?
Honestly, maybe one more year. I don't know. I think it's nonsense. I think it's ridiculous.
Thank
I mean,
you James.
Paid him $300 million.
Totally.
He's here. He's part of your team.
Part of your team.
Do whatever makes the team better.
And he's deficient at the spot. Like, at least Bryce, it's not about Bryce's defensive
no,
first.
It's about making the, it's you can add a first baseman
totally.
Easier. Exactly.
It's all that stuff. So I get, look, do we know if they are afraid to broach these topics with them? We don't know it. I think a lot of us sense it. You know, it just is one of those things where, and especially guys, remember this. The offense last year, even when they were rolling as a team, the offense last year in the outfield was a disaster. I mean, it actually was one of the worst collections of offensive players in an outfield that has made the playoffs in many, 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 many years. I mean, Castellanos was the only guy that was reasonably passable. Other than Marsh's hot April, he went cold. Rojas never gave him anything. Whit Merrifield never gave him anything. It was basically Castellanos or nothing. So this is all about trying to create a better team. And I'm curious where you stand at 215-592-9494. As a Phillies fan, would you like to see them explore these moves? And is your hunch, like ours, that they're probably afraid to explore these moves
they,
for any number of reasons?
They can't add a lot more salary, so you have to do creative
well,
things.
Hold on. Well, can.
They can.
They can.
Well,
they're not going
they may
to.
No, I think they will.
But
no, I think they will.
I mean, the 1927 Yankees quote, let's not forget
it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
well,
no, James,
that's
I think
not
they,
coming to fruition.
I think they will. Just because they haven't signed a $700 million guy doesn't mean they won't sign another $250 million guy. I mean, I think they will. I just think they haven't yet. And I know this. It would be a lot easier if they had more options of who they could sign or trade for if they made some of these moves. All right, so do you think the Phillies are reluctant? And if so, does that bother you? And do you think it would help the team if they move some of these guys? Let's get back to the phones. 215-592-9494. And in doing so, talk to our pal Shio Kapadia, of course, joins us every single Wednesday at this time. First time, of course, with a 10-game winning streak. Shio chronicles all of it for The Ringer and, of course, covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. Good morning, Shio.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, bud. So, Sheil, we'll do a ton on the Eagles, but just give me a quick answer on all that Phil stuff we were just talking about, because we know you are, at your heart, a Phillies fan. Do you think they're afraid to broach these conversations? Do you think they should?
Yeah, I mean, I was having a good morning, and then you had to remind me about Trey Turner's defense in December, which I don't really appreciate. I mean, yeah, that frustrated me all season long. It's frustrated me since he's been a Philly, so they need some type of solution, obviously, to get the offense going with the outfielders, like you mentioned. So, yes, leave no stone unturned. I don't see why you wouldn't bring up that conversation.
I mean, the only thing to not do is if the doctor tells you Bryce's arm's going to fall off and he can't swing a bat if he's got to throw the ball 300 feet, then you say, okay, his arm's going to fall off. Let's not his arm fall off. But I can't imagine that's the case. I mean, I believe the belief is Ohtani's going to go back to pitching. So Bryce Harper probably could go back to throwing the ball from the warning track to the infield if he had to. It's not... And this isn't crazy talk, so it's, yeah.
You could always put him in left, too. Less stress in the arm, too, theoretically.
It is. No,
Bryce
it is
good at first base, though. Like, he's a gold glove finalist.
No, it's not about that.
Yeah, I know, but I remember with Reese, it was, I feel like I held my breath anytime he had to make a defensive play, where with Bryce, I have full confidence, and I don't know if I'm willing to give that up.
But I need dudes with sticks. Like,
guys, like, Christian Walker is a literal gold glove first baseman and has a stick and is a free agent. Like, there are guys like that.
And you can make trades. I mean, the Whit Merrifield thing and the freaking Rojas thing last year. And then they had Pache. I mean, Brandon Marsh was their second-best offensive hitter in the outfield. And he is deficient. Anyway, all right.
He's a fourth outfielder, it looks like.
Yeah, and he was their second-best, which is a joke. All right, Shield, good morning to you. So let's get to the Eagles, my man. The passing game looked a lot better. Obviously, Jalen was a lot better this game than the prior two. What did you notice from him and how he was able to get the ball out faster?
That's the biggest thing, is getting the ball out on time. So they did a couple things schematically. One was they used a lot of empty in this game. They just put five pass catchers out there, nobody in the backfield. And when that's the case, you only have five guys blocking and the ball better come out, where it's going to be a negative play. And also kind of the routes you call out of empty are going to be routes that you get the ball out quickly. So that is everything to me with this offense, is can they play on time in the passing game? I mean, when Jalen Hurts got rid of the football quickly in this game, 14 for 16 for 154 yards, it looked like a professional passing game, a mature passing game. And I really think that's what you need. So I liked how they called those plays early in the game. You get A.J. Brown involved early in the game, and that's what you have to build on, what you saw really in the first four or five drives in that football game.
So it is a sustainable, balanced offensive attack from what you can gather, Shield. I think we haven't seen it all put together all at the same time quite to everyone's satisfaction, but I guess, like, moving forward, is there anything else that needs addressed offensively before we get to the postseason?
No, I mean, that's the big thing. You want to see it for an extended period of time. I mean, even in this game, you know, it was very good to start off, and then they have a span where they have, you know, take three sacks in a matter of four plays. So overall, don't get me wrong, the offense played really well, the entire team played really well. I just need to see it for a little bit longer, because I don't know what took so long. I don't know why it was missing. I don't know why there were those spurts where it just felt like every time Jalen Hurts dropped back, it was taking forever and he was scrambling around and it was turning into a throwaway or a sack. But to me, that's just going to determine whether this team gets to the Super Bowl or not. You know, I have no questions about the defense. I have very few questions about the offensive line and the run game. To me, there's going to be these games where you're going to have to rely on the passing game. You're going to have to avoid those sacks and negative plays. Mm-hmm. And are you able to move the ball methodically? And they did this. This was a step in the right direction, no doubt.
Shield, I don't know if this is like a little bit too inside baseball or not, but what do you think went into the extra meetings for the passing game that we heard about, that they worked extra on, that AJ sounded pretty annoyed about, but then said, but it's great. It's great that we did them.
Yeah. To be clear, John and I have had a bit of a disagreement on this. The extra meetings, we don't know were about the passing game. It may have been. It probably was in part that, but also obviously just about team unity after the public comments. So we don't know how the pie was broken up, but there were extra meetings.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was probably both those things. I probably lean towards it was less about the schematics, maybe, and more about, hey, let's make sure this thing doesn't snowball, and that, you know, the issues we're having, we don't get overly frustrated about them. But I do understand why A.J. Brown was frustrated when you watched you know, the film the previous week against the Carolina Panthers. And I do think there's a part of it where these guys look at it, and a lot of them have played in the NFL for a long time, and, like, you're not promised seasons like this where you're 12-2 and you have a legit shot to win the Super Bowl. And so when you're looking at it going, we're not good enough, I don't care what the record says, we can beat the Panthers in whatever it was, week 14, but can we beat the Lions and the Packers and the Bills and the Chiefs in the playoffs? Because that's how this season's going to be judged, that, you know, you get out in front of it. So I don't know. We won't know until the season's over. We won't know until we see how this team continues to respond and continues to play down the stretch, but I'm sure there was a little bit of that to it as well.
Hey, Shu, let's get to the Saquon thing. It's obviously been a diminished topic over the last week because of everything else, but they're at that point now with him behind the pace of Dickerson, that if he's going to get it, doesn't necessarily require force feeding him the ball, but it may soon. Do you, gut feeling, does Sirianni and Kellen Moore force feed it to him a little bit extra to try to help him get the record or not?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at this and why he came to Philadelphia and everything he says and in his actions as well about being a great teammate and wanting to win. I mean, this guy hasn't, well, he hasn't been past the second round of the playoffs in his entire career. And like I said, you're one of the favorites in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. That's what it's about. And so if it happens organically, if it happens naturally, and it could, I mean, the guy's capable of breaking off a 50 or 70-yard run at any point in any given game here, then, you know, you say, hey, great, you got the record or you got 2,000 yards, whatever you're chasing. But to me, I think they will have the bigger goal in mind, and I think he'll actually be proactive about it and say, I'm not worried about that. I you know, if it means sitting in week 18 or whatever the case may be, he'll actually say, I'm willing to do that. I want to do that because I want to win in the playoffs.
Hey, Shield, Jaden Daniels, Eagles about to face him this week again. So he obviously had one of his worst games of the season against the Birds a month ago, but has been fantastic for the most part. How has he looked since that game? Did he round back in a form from what you can tell?
Yeah, I think he was playing with the rib injury in that game. Just, I remember watching the film, and he was missing throws that he typically doesn't miss. So he is an exciting, dynamic player. They like to get the ball out of his hands when they can, but they also have stretches where he holds on to it. Like, he took 8 sacks in that game last week against the New Orleans Saints. So the Eagles have a real advantage up front where they can create some of those negative plays. But when you don't get to him, man, he can make some fantastic plays with his legs. So that will be a key in this football game. But, yeah, no, he looks pretty good. They've had a very good offense for the entire season. And if the season ended today, this would be the first-round matchup. So this will be a fun one to keep an eye on.
Shield, last thing for me. Grant Calcaterra has been sort of thrust into a much larger role because of Dallas Goedert's inability to stay completely healthy. But he's getting, it seems like they're sort of willing to throw him some bones here and there. How is he making good on his opportunities?
Yeah, they went to him on the first play of the game last week. I think as a pass catcher, I like him specifically as a number two tight end. I mean, he's usually where he's supposed to be. He catches the football, and he's got a little bit of juice after the catch. Now, as a blocker, there are reps in this game and throughout the season where you would say, he's having a tough time out there, which is not unusual for a tight end who's generally a pass-catching guy. So you're kind of getting by with him as a blocker, but I do like him as a pass catcher. And the other thing I like, John, is he's like the most enthusiastic guy on the team when someone else on offense does something well. You watch when they score a touchdown or have a big play, and he is the first guy over there pumping guys up and showing excitement and showing enthusiasm, which, you know, maybe
I love that point.
Yeah.
You need that. You need some guy who's just a little bit off, a little bit crazy. I think when I look at him, I see he's got the little studly stash going. I think he's, you know, seems like a funny guy. We know that he and Jalen had that year together in college where maybe if Jalen is a – He doesn't seem like the most cuddly of teammates. It's possible that Grant Calcaterra has a little bit of like an icebreaker in his back pocket for Jalen, with Jalen, and that can help take some of the edge off with the other teammates around them as well.
Yeah, no, he's done a great job in a lot of ways. Hey, Shield, great work, bud. We'll talk to you. Actually, we will not talk to you next week because we'll be off with it being Christmas. We wish you a happy holiday, Shield. Our best to you and your family. Thanks for always being a huge part of the program, man.
All right, same to you guys. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
You got it, pal. There he is, Shield Kapati. By the way, when you call in today at 215-592-9494, not only on underrated aspects of the Eagles' greatness this year, and if you agree with our instincts that the Phillies should really consider moving some of these regular players to the outfield, but also your chance to win, and this is a great prize on the approach to the holidays, because it can either be for yourself or you just re-gift it to someone else. 100, because I'm a big re-gifter, right?
Oh, you are, but you also would keep this specific prize for yourself.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
I re-gifted yesterday, by the way.
Did you?
But I told the person I was re-gifting.
That's probably the
because
it was obvious. It would have been
it
obvious.
Was, it was obvious.
Wait, what did you re-gift?
So the only reason you told was because you had to.
I would
because
say
it
that's
been so obvious.
Correct. I had been given something.
Well, that's not noble.
It's not noble, but I wasn't looking to drill down. Seltzer kind of put me in a corner here. I was looking for the credit, and then James exposed me. Yes, I would keep the Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon gift card for myself, but it certainly can make a great holiday gift as well. You can get one here today, $100 gift card on the line. You can also, of course, purchase them. They're available online at josephanthony.com. JosephAnthony.com, where gift cards are available in three locations with Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Here's how you can win it today on the program. John was talking to us before the show about a TV program back in the day called To Tell the Truth. We will ask you today at 215-592-9494, what is a truth you would like to know? Now, let me be very clear before we really launch this. We're not talking about the big haymakers in human history, like God and aliens exist.
Life after death.
And JFK and all that's, Area 51. Like, we got it. Right? We got it. Did we actually land on the moon? We've talked about all these things a million times. I'm bringing it down multiple levels. Like, let me give you a for instance. Here's something I'd like to know. Here's a truth I'd like to know that's less important than does God exist. Wilt, how many?
Points, Joe?
Like,
points?
Points. Like, actually.
Scoring?
Actually, how many? That's a truth I'd like to know. John Ritchie, what's a truth on the more simple side you'd like to know?
That's so awful that you always go there. I really do want to know this answer.
What?
And I'm hoping someone has it. I've been cooking more lately.
Yep.
My girlfriend and I, we do cooking.
Nice.
And she is a pasta aficionado.
Oh, okay? I love pasta.
So the pasta, while you're boiling the pasta, yeah, the trick is you put the wooden spoon on the ridge of the boiling pot,
yep,
and it does not boil over.
What?
Why?
What?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
It works. It's incredible. I don't know how, but it will never, ever boil over if you just take a wooden spoon and you put it on the ridge of the pot that you're boiling the water
even
in
if the water's
for
at
your
the top?
Pasta. What's that?
Even if the water's at the top?
The water can be anywhere. It will not boil over if that wooden spoon
I'll try
is
it
on the ridge.
I don't
you
buy
can
it,
also
but
just
I'll try
keep
it
an eye on it.
I want to know
so
why.
It
I'll try
no,
it.
No, it really does. It's an amazing trick.
All right, 2-1, Devin, give me an answer here. A truth you'd like to know, more on the simple side.
Did Tom Brady know that they were deflating the footballs?
Yep, no question about it.
Yes.
Seltzer, give me an answer here.
Why do I yawn when other people yawn?
Yep, another great answer. Rhea, what do you got?
This will upset someone, I'm sure. How did he become a superstar when Bob Dylan doesn't have a great singing voice?
Yeah, well, he
greatest
spoke
songwriter
to that era.
Of all
he spoke
time.
To that era.
I songwriter, yes. Songwriter,
all
yes.
Right. 2-1, give us a great answer. A truth that you would like to know, but on the more simple side. We're not doing gods and aliens and all that. What do you want to know?